The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.
Welcome to another edition of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama, produced in partnership with 90.1 FM WJOU. I'm David Person, and Acacia Moore is here. Acacia, how are you?
Hello, David. Happy Friday. How are you?
I'm good. So tell me, first of all, what is a master gardener?
Master gardeners are individuals who volunteer their time to help with gardening issues, and we have to participate in classes that are held at Biomina, and there are books that are provided, classroom instruction. We have special guest speakers. There are tours that we go on, and we learn lots of things from planting trees, shrubs, flowers, color choices and selection, ideal plants for winter, fall, summer, lots of things, just tons of things. So pesticides, pest control, lawn care maintenance, and those types of things. It's wonderful.
So all things gardening, basically.
All things gardening.
For the average person, what does gardening offer? Just the average person.
The average person.
In terms of health.
Physical activity.
Okay.
And gardening helps, you know, from what we can see in the metrics that we've actually obtained, it has actually shown a 70% difference in physical activity, not in just the youth, but in the elder individuals. Case in point, those individuals that are recovering from cancer or in remission. Because before they may have a situation where they couldn't go from a position of sitting in a chair and standing or arm curls or getting up and going. So this gives them that opportunity to get some physical activity, eat properly, learn about what they're eating, and to be able to sustain that healthy living.
So that's for the elderly. Mm-hmm. Or the people who are recovering from some sort of serious illness. But what
Correct.
about a person who's not elderly and is not dealing with a chronic illness or chronic disease? What are the health benefits of gardening for that person?
Well, we're noticing that there has been a 113% increase in people who are doing a daily intake of fruit and vegetables, which that's great. That is great.
So gardening, if a person, the average person, if they have a garden,
yes,
you're saying basically it will encourage them to be healthy eaters.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have a garden.
From garden to table. Absolutely.
You have a garden.
550 square feet. And that does not include the fruits that are located close to the rear portion of my home.
Okay. So how much of your, what percentage of the food that you eat is grown or coming from your garden?
Primarily for spring and summer and early fall, I'm going to say 75%. And that's either through seeds that I've purchased from various nurseries or transplants that I got early on, starting in the spring, if you will. And then for the winter time, I normally go to some of the farmers markets and procure some of the things that they've actually grown.
But 75%?
Yes.
For a good portion of the year?
Yes.
Is food that you've grown?
Yes.
What are we talking about here?
Oh, I do herbs, cucumbers, tomatoes, three different forms of peppers, six varieties of watermelon, one variety of cantaloupe, corn, and I do green beans, peas.
What kind of peas?
Cabbage, broccoli, just tons. What type of peas?
Yeah, what types of peas?
Black-eyed peas, pink-eyed purple hull peas, you know.
Okay, all right, okay. And I interrupted you, so you're saying you were you were listing some other things.
Three different forms of tomatoes. It's normally Better Boy, Early Girl, and steak tomatoes. And then okra. My mom loves okra. She loves okra, so I have to grow okra for her. Mm. And then, of course, she's allowed to come out to my garden and pick whatever she needs whenever she wants. Mm. And then I do turnip greens and those types of things. So yeah, I eat very well, very well.
And if 75% of what you're eating for a good portion of the year is coming from your garden, then that means that's money
that I save going out to eat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So there's a budgetary benefit, you know,
yes,
that people may not always think about.
True.
So you've got the exercise benefits you talked about earlier,
yes,
just being out there and moving and so forth. Then you've got the dietary benefits because you're growing. You can grow a significant portion of what you end up eating.
Absolutely.
And then there's the budgetary benefit. You're,
yes,
saving money.
Yes.
Wow. How'd you get into gardening?
Started with my grandparents, actually, on my father's side. She loved to garden. She had rose bushes aplenty. And I was just in awe. And I would just walk behind her and just watch what she would do. And then when my mom decided she wanted to get involved in gardening, then she and I worked together on it. And I hated it. But I was younger then. I didn't appreciate it until I got older. And I grew to appreciate it. And I absolutely love what I do. It, for me, it's a stress reliever. If I've had a rough day at work, I can go home and pull weeds. I can go home and connect my rain catchers. I actually...
I don't know what that is. What are rain catchers?
I build rain catchers, and rain catchers are like large barrels that you actually put a spigot onto, and you cut a large top hole in the top, and then you add some netting, which prevents debris from falling in, and then I attach one of my rain gutters directly to this barrel, and I collect rainwater, and that's how I water my garden, because the garden loves that good old Mother Nature water more so than the municipal water that you would give them from the home, if you will.
Wow.
And it's wonderful. So I have two on the back of my house that I collect rainwater from and water my garden from regularly.
Wow. So you got into gardening because of your mother and your grandmother, basically.
Yeah, there was a true love there. Yes, true love.
Legacy.
I've been in my home now 26 years. Mm-hmm. And out of the 26 years I've been there, I've had a garden for the last 8 years.
Wow.
And I love it. But like I said, it's physical. Whether you're pulling a weed or planting a transplant or putting in new seeds, or it's endless. And I love it.
So the type of gardening that you're doing, is it primarily you're growing produce, or are you growing some flowers and bushes as well?
The flowers are in the front of the home. The garden's in the back of the home. So it's both.
Two different, is this, would you say that the principles of gardening are radically different? I mean, what you do to grow produce versus what you do to grow flowers and bushes?
No, they're same.
Same principles?
Yes, absolutely.
Same benefits too?
Absolutely. Some flowers are edible.
What flowers are edible?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, what flowers are edible?
You can actually eat rose petals. As long as you do not treat them with pesticides, let me put that little plug in there. You cannot treat these things with any form of pesticide and be able to go inside and eat your plants or petals.
Do you eat rose petals?
I do.
Tell me about, what do they taste like?
They're good, actually.
What do they taste like?
You can actually apply like a nice little thin, like a sugar coating on the outside of them. And they're really good.
But what's the flavor? What do they taste
like? I really can't equate them to anything that you or I may have shared to be able to tell you what they taste like.
All right,
like,
so
really
is it
good.
Sweet? Is it sour? Is it...
No, they're not sour. We'll say earthy.
Earthy.
Not green. You know how you can taste some things that would kind of taste green?
Yeah.
It's just, it's fresh. And it just adds an extra oomph to your meal.
Mm-hmm. What do you...
Not like an herb. Totally different than an herb.
Do you put the rose petals on?
It's more like a garnish.
So what do you put it on?
Anything. You can put it on top of your steamed veggies if you want to add some color. Absolutely.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You can eat squash blossoms. People don't know that. You can stuff squash blossoms and deep fry them or bake them, and they are really, really good.
Okay, so now remember, I grew up in the city of Chicago. I don't know anything about anything agricultural or gardening. So you... Squash blossoms, are these the flowers that precede
that is
the squash that,
yes,
that we eat?
Absolutely, and they're beautiful, and you can actually stuff those and eat them.
And what do they taste like?
Those are really good. They taste similar to the squash itself, but it's the blossom prior to the squash.
Hmm.
But like I said, you can stuff them, so you can do some type of seafood stuffing, stuff them and bake them. They're really good, really good.
Let's go back to the rose petals for a minute.
Sure.
So, is there a health benefit, do you think, from eating rose petals?
I would say yes, but I can't tell you what it is.
Okay. But you clearly enjoy it.
Absolutely.
You do it regularly?
Yes.
Like every week you eat?
No, not every week.
Oh, okay. It's like a delicacy?
No, not really.
No?
It's a matter of preference, really.
Okay.
But before I eat any of the rose petals or any other petals I have, I always look the information up to make sure the plant is not poisonous or toxic.
Right.
So let's put that in there, too. Be careful what you eat.
So don't
but I don't have any toxic things in my yard or garden.
But people should not think that they can just go around willy-nilly picking rose petals.
That is correct. Them, right? That is correct.
Between pesticides and not being certain, perhaps, if it's a toxic flower.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had this conversation with anybody about eating flowers. That's just kind of blew
it exists
me away.
And wow. It is true.
Okay.
There are a lot of edible flowers out there.
Huh.
I love the look on your face right now.
I'm still processing. Yeah, it's just I'm just really like, wow, I didn't know. I think I'd heard something about some flowers being edible, but I've never talked to anybody who's actually done it.
I'm one of them.
Do you cook them?
No, I leave mine fresh.
So you just
I wash them 3 times.
Okay.
And then I just, sprinkle them on my plate along with the rest of my food, and it's really pretty and it's really tasty.
When you wash them, how do you wash them? Like greens or something? Or?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So you can either do a salt water bath, or you can actually go out and purchase a vegetable and fruit solution that mm-hmm. they have in the grocery stores or your favorite nursery, or you can do a vinegar wash. Mm-hmm. And I just do it 3 times to make sure there's no debris or sediment or anything else that may be on those flowers at that time.
Hmm.
It's really good. Really good eating.
Okay, I'll take your word for it for now. I don't know if I'm ready to take that step. I have to take your word for that. But that is fascinating, though. That's fascinating. I imagine that if a lot of people were to take to that, that there'd be a whole lot of gardens that would be depleted. Because roses are beautiful. They're beautiful
Absolutely.
To look at. And
Absolutely.
I don't know that anybody thinks about eating them. So,
they're beautiful to look at. They're beautiful to smell.
Yeah.
They're beautiful
yeah.
to eat.
That's just
we'll call it multi-purpose.
Okay, multi-purpose. We're talking with Acacia Moore. She's a master gardener. We're talking about the health benefits of gardening and who knew that there were health or at least that eating flowers is something that could be done and done regularly and safely. And Acacia is telling us as an expert that they are. So you're a master gardener.
Yes.
What does that designation really mean?
That just means that we have followed through with the classroom instruction and we have adequately satisfied the requirement to be certified as a master gardener, and we can go out and volunteer and help in the community, and we could be used as advisors when you're having some issues with your lawn or garden or pests in your garden, or you just need just some basic information. You can always look up mginfo.org to get some additional information. You could also go out to the Alabama Cooperative Extension System and find the Master Gardener link and click out on that link, and you'll see some frequently asked questions out there. If there's a particular question you want to ask that you don't see within the FAQ section, you can just type it in, and there will be some publications that pop up that can also aid you in answering any questions you may have.
Mm-hmm. And how challenging or rigorous is the process to become a master gardener?
It's a wonderful process, actually. Like I said, starting in February, they will be doing the morning classes, and those are normally from 8 until 2, and those are wonderful. And like I said, it's $140 per person. I think they take 30 people per class, and the first class starts February the 8th this year, and you just go to classes, you take exams so that you can get a full comprehension of what you just learned the week before. So mm-hmm. if we did chapter one today, next week you do a test on chapter one.
So is this like a year-long process?
Or? No, it's from February to May.
And you can become, I could literally walk in there like a guy like me with no
expertise,
previous experience or expertise, could walk in there and after 3 months of classes, I could become a master gardener.
Absolutely.
And I would be just as capable as you?
Yes, capable, absolutely. To become well-versed, you know, practice makes perfect.
Okay.
And everybody's situation is different and unique, so there'll be some situations that you may not be able to answer that question, but you could definitely get them to an adequate answer.
So let's say that that somebody listening has said, you know what, I like flowers, I like the idea of growing, you know, vegetables and fruits and herbs to eat, but I'm not sure if I can, you know, afford this avocation. What would you say to them?
It's affordable, and it's worth saving for, because at the end of the day, it's a physical benefit, it's a healthy benefit, you're helping others, it's almost like an each one reach one. So it's like what you know you can share with others. Because to me, I see all humans that I've interacted with within this program as living libraries. Mm-hmm. Because everyone has their own expertise and skill set in this endeavor. And it's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful.
So how much money do you think it would cost to just start from scratch with, you know,
without creating the class or with the class?
I'm talking now just about creating a garden.
That depends on the individual,
mm-hmm.
because some people may want to start small. So having said that, you may want to start from seeds, or you may want to wait until the spring when your, you know, your box stores such as Home Depot and Lowe's or any of your nurseries start to get in their transplants and actually get plants that are ready to be put into the ground. But even then, it would require you to do some prep work prior to installing your garden. So on average, if you wanted to start small, I'd say maybe 25 to 50, giving a range, depending on what that individual wants in their garden.
$25 to $50.
Mm-hmm. Just to start something small, yes.
So small would be like a box size?
Yes.
Or, okay.
I'd say, you know, if you want to do like square foot gardening, you might want to do a 5x5, which is 25 square feet, just something small.
Mm-hmm.
And seeds are always on sale. Mm-hmm. And you can just start really small that way.
What kind of prep work are we talking about?
Tilling your soil, removing rocks or cement or any other debris that may not be wholesome for your new transplants. Amending your soil, adding some conditioners, if you will.
Conditioners?
Mm-hmm. There are soil conditioners available to you.
Okay.
So what you want to do is till up your soil, and then you would want to do some samples. And then you can ship those samples off in boxes that were provided to you. You can go to CT Garvin. They have boxes, and those samples of soil get shipped off to Auburn University, where they do pH testing. If you don't want to go that route, you could always take that soil to CT Garvin, and they can do it for you there. Or you can actually come to the Master Gardeners when they're having their in-house plant sales and fall sales. We actually have a pH test stand set up for that.
And that's to determine whether or not the soil is capable of
sustaining
growing.
Life. That is correct, because sometimes it may be too acidic, may not have enough nutrients in it to adequately grow your plants. I will say this, there are times when you can actually prep your soil, it's in great shape, the pH is right for those plants that you have, and sometimes you'll still have some casualties.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of the nature of the beast.
So there is going to be a definite commitment of time and energy to do it.
Yes.
But you're saying that it can be done relatively inexpensively.
Absolutely. And it's not something that requires you to do something every day. You know, you want to water based on the required watering recommendations located either on your seed packet or your transplant. There are plant tags located within your transplants. And, of course, on the back of your seed packets, it tells you what the required watering requirement is and how deep you need to plant that seed. So for the state of Alabama, we are zones 7, 8, and 9. Huntsville, in particular, is zoned 7B. B as in Bravo.
And what does that mean?
That is our planting zone. So that lets you know that whatever seed you purchase or plant you purchase, there are zones, codes that show color lines. And it lets you know exactly what fruit or vegetable would grow best in that zone. So you would want to focus on those plants or vegetables or shrubs that are good for zone 7B.
Okay. Before we go, we need to talk about this great program that you're involved in that connects people with chronic illnesses or diseases to gardening. Tell us about this program.
I am currently involved with Harvest for Health, which is an initiative out of UAB, and they have partnered with Auburn University, and they are needing 425 volunteers to help with this effort. And basically, the commitment is a one-year commitment. You get paired with a cancer survivor that's 65 years or older. Now, the purpose for that requirement is they said they're able to best capture metrics on those patients that are 65 years and older, because most people who are younger than that 65-year requirement may not necessarily have a physical impairment, if you will, or the inability to do things, but 65 and up is kind of where they would have a reason or a level of plateauing and not doing as much. This initiative is in place to help them move and become more physical, keep them in that 70% percentile of, you know, moving and becoming more active and staying physical and eating better so that those numbers continue to increase. As I mentioned before, those current numbers of daily fruit and vegetable intake has increased to 113%, which is really, really good. So you would then act as an advisor. They normally pair you with a cancer survivor that's within 15 miles or less of your address, your physical address, so that you're somewhat close, so you don't have to do a whole lot of driving. You're required to reach out to them. You can talk to them as much as you like, but there's a requirement where you see them at least as a minimum twice a month.
And the benefit of this program for the person who's a cancer survivor is that it helps them to reacclimate, I guess, to having a life with some activity.
Absolutely.
And doctors believe that this helps with their recovery.
Absolutely. And a better diet for them, too, because they're going to be eating healthier.
Yeah,
they're eating healthier. And so we're there to help them get that garden up and established and maintain it and answer any questions they may have. All of these supplies are given to them. They don't have to buy them. They're all provided by Harvest for Health. So it's your planting boxes, your soil conditioners, your gloves, your trowel. They may provide you some seeds. They may provide you an account where you can go and physically purchase some transplants if the volunteer and the survivor choose that option. So there are a lot of great things available for them to be able to do this project wonderfully. It is a great success.
And how involved do I have to be in gardening in order to participate in this program?
Like I said, twice a month to reach out, to physically see them.
I'm talking about my level of expertise. I mean, in other words, again, remember you're talking to City Guy here. So if I'm moved by what you're talking about and I want to help in some way, my lack of knowledge and experience, does that preclude me, preclude my participation, or could I actually get involved and help?
You can actually get involved and help. And for those people who are interested in helping, you would reach out to Renee Thompson, and her phone number is 844-476-9478. And she would be more than happy to let you know how this process works. Our orientation for this effort that's coming up will be held on February the 26th from 10 until noon at Belle Mina, Alabama. So we're really looking forward to hearing from people and allowing them the opportunity to participate in this orientation to see how many additional volunteers are required to help us with this effort.
All right. Harvest for Health. And Master Gardener Acacia Moore, this has been great. It's been great talking to you about Harvest for Health. It's been great talking to you about gardening and the health benefits and the other benefits that come from gardening. And I'm still, again, blown away that you're telling me that rose petals actually are tasty.
Absolutely.
That's just blowing me away. Okay.
Absolutely. So for additional information, again, anything you need to know, would like to know, mginfo.org, or you can go to the Alabama Cooperative Extension System and click on the Master Gardener link and just see all the great FAQs that are available to you, or reach out to Renee Thompson, Harvest for Health, at 844-476-9478.
Thank you, Acacia.
You're welcome.
All right. The Healthy Alabama Podcast is produced in partnership with WJOU, Oakwood University Radio, Praise 90.1 FM, and is sponsored by Enroll Alabama. I'm David Person. Until next time, be healthy. Oh, I forgot to say, I got to say this. Theme music is by DJ Bailey. Didn't mean to forget DJ. DJ Bailey. I'm David Person. Until next time, be healthy.
The Healthy Alabama Podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.